Hello everyone and welcome to JFG tonight. There was no sound at the beginning, now we fixed it. Still the same problem as there used to be. It's more rare now, but it's still happening. I don't know what they're doing. I had to click reset stream on the Odyssey page so that we would get sound. Garfield says it works fine. Today I'd like to talk about this guy. This guy who sent his father to jail for 7 years, who participated to the mob phenomenon of Democrats going after the January 6er. Homeschooled your kids, please, says Alan Edward. Because this young man, this teenager guy, hated his dad so much. And of course, he doesn't use these words, but I would use these words. I think this guy had an intrinsic hate for his father. And he's right, Alan Edward, to say homeschool your kids. This probably, in some way, is related to the education of this child. Probably has been convinced by leftist memes, public school memes, and eventually ended up seeing his father, instead of seeing him as someone who he disagrees with politically, seeing him as someone who needs mental health support. And this is so condescending. And on top of this, on top of having the condescension of saying, I'm not going to respect your political differences with me, I'm going to psychiatrize them. On top of it, he writes a letter to the court, and this is the guy we were talking about yesterday, a man who didn't enter the Capitol, who is reproached to have been having a gun on him during January 6th, but having a gun on you is a legal thing. Now, the only true error that is a true crime, in my view, that he did, is that he did indicate on YouTube, in a YouTube video, he said that Pelosi's head should roll over the stairs, but that doesn't call for a 7-year sentence in my view. But that's what he got, and that's exactly what his teenage son was asking for him. This guy right here, asking for 7 years, and on top of it, to add insult to the injury, he went on CNN and gave an interview again, reducing the issues between him and his father as an issue of psychiatry. As far as I'm concerned, if someone was to do this from my family to me, use the state to imprison me because he disagrees with me, that would be an immediate disown. I don't know what's the intent of this guy, Mr. Refit, when he gets out of jail, but my intent would be immediately to never interact with this person again because he has used the force of the state against me. To me, there's a legitimate reason for a child or for a teenager to call the police. It's when a crime is being committed against them. But if you just find that your father is hanging out with bizarre people and is joining political groups that you disagree with, that shouldn't be a justification to call the FBI. As far as I'm concerned, when we're talking about a father, son, or wife, you have a duty not to use the state to leverage inside your own conflicts with them. The conflicts must go on. If you don't like your father, you can just disown him. You can disappear from his life. But you shouldn't have this option of using the force of the state to shut him down up until your adult years, which is exactly what this guy had done. Now, see here, teen is in hiding. So this was before. This is an older article. But he's been going around the media and dragging attention to himself and to his dad. Teen says he's in hiding after turning in dad, Guy Refit, for alleged role in Capitol riots. Jackson Rayfitt says that when his dad returned home, he warned the family, if you're a traitor, you get shot. See, I don't know if I want to believe this allegation because Guy Rayfitt was never found guilty of having done this threat. If you're a traitor, you get shot. That's his claim. That's the claim of Jackson Rayfitt. That would be a justification. If you feel that you have received the death threat, you can call the police. But you don't get to use another crime that really there are components of this that are not crimes, like having a gun is not a crime. And use this to leverage against your own dad because you disagree with him. Teen Jackson Rayfitt is speaking out after reporting his father to the FBI for allegedly taking part in the Capitol riots earlier this month. The 18-year-old told Inside Edition he is now in hiding. Again, you reported your dad for what? Your dad didn't assault a policeman. Your dad didn't break into the Capitol. Your dad basically protested, used his First Amendment right to express an opinion you may disagree with. But he has not committed a crime. They ended up finding him guilty of basically the crime of publishing a threat on YouTube. So let's have a look at the video here of the interview. It's extremely frustrating because what I see basically is a leftist son pissed at his dad and probably at his mom and sisters also, because there's an interesting twist, which is that this guy is basically isolated in his family. The wife of Guy Rayfitt stands by him strongly. The sisters, one of them seems to stand by him strongly. One of them seems to be charmed by the victimization discourse of this young man, who is her brother. Let's have a look at what he says.
A federal judge has sentenced a January 6th rioter to 7 years in prison, which is the longest sentence so far for participants in the Capitol insurrection. Sentencing for Guy Rayfitt comes nearly 20 months after he brought a gun to the Capitol and threatened House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. Back in March, a D.C. jury convicted Guy of 5 felonies. Here's how Rayfitt's daughters reacted to his sentencing.
To mark my dad as this horrible person, and then having him prosecuted like this when somebody is maybe even able to get elected again, doesn't seem right to me. Trump deserves...
So this is the sister who seems to be mostly standing by her dad. Now, this other sister seems to be putting it on the back of Trump.
He deserves life in prison if my father's in prison for this long.
She says Trump should be in prison for life if my father is in prison for this long. But Trump never threatened to kill Nancy Pelosi. So, I mean, I really don't like the dynamic already, and it's going to get worse, but I really don't like the dynamic of saying your dad was manipulated by Trump. Trump is a public personality. He stands for certain things, and certain people have chosen to back Trump and to even go further in their backing of Trump than he was demanding even. So Trump is not the cause of your dad choosing to act this way. At least give your dad the respect of respecting him as a full person who has made his choices. They are trying to make it like, oh, it's not really his fault, it's Trump manipulating. But Trump, everything that he's ever said is on the record. And we know that he didn't tell his crowd, go into January 6th, break the Capitol. He didn't say this. In fact, he called them to do a peaceful protest. So that's one thing. Secondly, your dad listened to Trump and did a peaceful protest, but he also published this video of a violent threat. That is what happened.
Joining us now is Guy Reffitt's son, Jackson Reffitt. Jackson warned the FBI about his father both before and after the insurrection.
So note something here. He warned the FBI before the insurrection. So what was there to warn about? Basically, he didn't like the psychiatric profile of his dad, and he was considering that this needed intervention from the federal government. But he warned the FBI at a point where there was no crime committed. So we are in the pre-crime domain here, and we are in the state recruiting individual family members to get advance information on potential upcoming crimes.
Jackson, thank you so much for being with us this morning. How are you feeling? How are you reacting to this sentence?
I'm not happy at all, and I haven't been happy through this whole situation in my head.
He's not happy, but the judge gave him exactly what he requested in the letter, which is the maximum available sentence. So what's needed to make you happy, Jackson? You want your dad to vote for Joe Biden?
No one in my family has either. But to say I'm surprised would be a lie. I mean, everything my dad did, he's his own person, and his action has consequences. But I'm not happy at all.
Do you think he deserves this length of sentence?
Absolutely. He deserves some time, for.
Now that's kind of underselling yourself, Jackson. You don't think he deserves some time. You wrote in a letter to the judge that he deserves the maximal amount of time he could spend in jail. So now he's moving the goalposts back. He's now in front of a crowd at CNN. And he's like, oh, he deserves some time. Well, less than a day ago, you were in writing asking for the maximal amount of time. And that's what you got. So don't downplay it here. You got exactly what you asked for. Your dad deprived from contacts with you and from the possibility of continuing on with his life because he's in a jail cell.
Anything to rehabilitate for his mental health. He deserves a lot of safety nets.
And this is the intersection of psychiatry, criminality, and basically the state advancing in thought crimes. Because at this point, you are telling us, oh, well, I wanted him in jail for a long time because he needs a lot of psychiatric help. But you are not the one to determine who needs psychiatric help. The only person who can determine that they need psychiatric help is themselves. So your dad will decide if what he suffers from is a psychopathology or it's just a political ideology. And if it's a political ideology, then you have no place to recommend some interventions on his brain. We are at that critical moment in which basically you want the state to change your brain, the brains of your dad, because you don't like the way they work. You are trying to make an ideological intervention disguised as psychiatric care. And yes, Ariel Suarez says such a duplicitous statement. Absolutely, because psychiatric care presents itself as just helping the person, you know? But helping a person who doesn't want to be helped and who doesn't consider that they are suffering from an issue is a violation of their liberty. And we are well into the domain of psychiatry stepping over political preferences here. Because what you reproach to your dad, basically, is that his view of the Constitution and his love of the American Constitution and his willingness to defend it is too much for you. That is not psychiatry. That is ideology.
But yes, he does.
You have worries about him being in prison that long. You mentioned his mental health.
Absolutely. I mean, the prison system in this country can be pretty harsh for a
And here you have the leftist take on the prison system. It can be pretty harsh. So he's revealing his political preferences here.
A lot of reasons, and to blame my dad's deteriorating mental health for a pretty bad effect on him, I'm not going to be surprised. But, I mean, that's why I mentioned it.
He has difficulty formulating sentence. He's not a very intelligent young man. He's trying to say that he wouldn't be surprised that the jail will have a worsening effect on his dad's psychology and psychiatric state. So, Covey says, wow, your own son's is a Judah. Absolutely, that is the whole story of Judah right here. And it's your child in this case rather than just an apostle. So if you are convinced that his psychiatric state would get worse in the prison system, why did you write a letter to the judge saying your dad needed 7 years in jail to get better psychiatrically? That doesn't work. He's inconsistent. If you truly believe that your father will be worse when out of the jail than he came in, than when he came in, then you would want a minimal sentence to lower that effect.
In my letter.
Do you now, or have you throughout any of this process, had any second thoughts about turning him in?
Absolutely not, but it's still...
Covey says, I absolutely have no second thought. I'm happy that I caught my father. Covey says, 7 years for entering a building? No. Guy Refit never entered the Capitol. He was protesting outside peacefully. As far as I know, now they're saying, well, he had a gun. Okay, I thought that the Second Amendment was protecting cases like this.
Bears the guilt that he is his own person and he has made his own choices, but he's also been... pretty much manipulated into making those choices. And
here he is giving CNN exactly what they want. My dad is not really making independent decision. He was under the spell of Trump. If I was the dad, I would be absolutely appalled that I gave birth to a guy like this. He's getting to CNN exactly what they want. He is dehumanizing his father by basically saying he's not really making his decision. He's his own person, but there's a big master in the back scene, you know, controlling his what he does, and he's been manipulated by Trump. That's what he's suggesting right here.
It pains me that he is still responsible for his actions.
Jackson, I want to talk about what this has done to your family. This is your mom speaking yesterday. I want to listen to this.
No matter.
Now, look at this based mom. Very little men in America right now. Please take a note here. Because, okay, she got short hair. I hate short hair. Okay. But very few men in America right now have the luck of being with a woman who's will stand by their side after such a prison sentence. Look at what she says.
If you are a liberal, if you're an independent, you're a Republican, this is not okay. This is what this is political persecution. We are patriots. Ashley Babbitt was a patriot. My husband is a patriot. Roseanne Boylan was a patriot. And all I can say, is that y'all can all go to hell and I'm going back to Texas.
I love this. Ashley Babbitt was a patriot. My husband was a patriot. Y'all can go to hell. I'm going back to Texas. I love this woman. I mean, what can you dream of that's better than this? I mean, you got it. This guy Refit is very lucky to have a woman like this who stands even in the face of leftist harassment, of their own son going to betray them and the media, and she doesn't give a shit. She's going back. Covey says, was those his sisters? Pretty white gals. Yes, those were his sisters, and that's where they have delivered their own comment also. But now he's going to comment on his family.
What is your relationship like with your mom, with your sisters?
It's been really hard over the past couple of years. The really polarizing differences in how we view our father.
So basically, the entire female part of the family, I never thought this existed. Texas, beautiful land. I didn't know this existed. Three females standing by the dad, standing by the patriotism. And basically what he's telling us here is, he is the weird hippie leftist, drunken peasant style teenager in the basement, just wrecking this family up. Guy from V says it was 4 versus 1. Yes, that was a 4 versus 1. So basically, he is the only leftist in this family, and there has been tension around all this.
And the people that are involved in communities such as what my father was in.
Mark says, what the cynical biped says, damn, that's worse. He groomed himself. I guess that's what happens to a lot of teenagers in the basement type, you know, with these long hair, metal-looking guy. They end up grooming themselves, indeed. But yeah, people are also pointing out probably groomed by leftist streamer communities. I would agree that there's in his appearance and in his demeanor, I recognize maybe a destiny, maybe influencing him, maybe even a Faraday Speaks type of guy. Because in this whole, I'm going to go to CNN to betray my dad, that's very much Faraday Speaks styles. And in terms of his demeanor and rhythm of speech, perhaps some influence from a destiny or something like this. Now, if you'd like to support the show, use the dollar button under the Odyssey regular chat. Odyssey super chats are my favorite way of receiving support for the show. Alternatively, you can also use Entropy. The link to Entropy is in the description below. Covey Clown has already sent a super chat on Entropy. He says, thanks for the interaction. When you guys making babies, plant some veggies. Oh, Covey Clown, I do not describe the schedule of insemination in specificity, but do not worry about this. I am a voracious seed saver, and I am constantly working with the seasons, with the cycles, letting my plants grow to seed and harvesting, and also saving the seeds for next year. It never stops. The production never stops, but I do not engage in detailing any of this for protection reasons.
Feels like we're each pulling on each string one way. But I don't view this as a political matter. This is more of what is morally correct and how.
It is inevitably a political matter, because what you think is a psychiatric problem of your dad is a political opinion. Your dad is admirative and fascinated about the American Constitution and has a view of it. No matter what it leads him to engage in, those actions are political in nature. And when you call the FBI, when your dad hasn't even yet committed a crime, and eventually the crime that he will commit ends up being a YouTube video rather than the very insurrection that's supposed to have happened on January 6th, you are participating to political oppression. At least assume it. At least assume the leftist Judah that you are, Jackson. I mean, at least there would be some honorability to it. You got your dad out of society because you don't like his opinion. that's a political move inherently. Nicholas Petris says, Ariel Suarez, I wish JF would go on the offensive with these people. What do you want me on the offensive? I just called him a Judah. I don't know that I can do any more offense than this.
How to go about it. And what my father was manipulated into doing.
And again, the non-responsibility, the dehumanization of, you know, we are all manipulated by the system in the end. And this is Marxism. This guy is on the wrong path in life. Thankfully, some of his genes will survive in the next generation because he has beautiful sisters.
You got to think was the best and only way to do it. He decided as an adult to make these choices. And
he's always preceding these conceptions of free choice by, well, it wasn't free choice, really. There were factors, there were manipulators behind. So basically never true freedom. But is that actually is one case of someone who just used this true freedom? He was part of some militia group, apparently, and they were truly having a conception that they were defending the Constitution. Not saying he committed zero crime, but I'm saying I've seen people be punished for less than a month in jail for the kind of crimes that he's committed.
Whether my family views it any differently, it doesn't have an effect of the outcome.
When you heard what your mom said there, you know, what do you think about what she said?
Realistically, this doesn't have a matter of a political opinion. What my father did is far from politics. This is completely off the rails violence.
It is not even violence. At best, your dad has made a threat of violence. But your dad didn't abuse people, didn't attack people, didn't attack police, didn't break anything. He did not commit violence. Unless you want to claim that the threat of violence is a form of violence, okay then. But for the rest, your dad is politically involved. And that's what you take issue with, because he's been describing in this very interview that the problem with his dad and his sisters has been going on for years. So clearly, it's not a problem of violence here. Clearly, we have a political problem that's been going on before January 6th.
Had a political motive at this point, doesn't matter. It's more about what he did and who he did it for.
It seems like, you know, you're...
And here, the signature attack to Trump without naming him. Exactly what CNN would like. This guy is way too... he's delivering way too much exactly what CNN wants to hear. And this can emerge from cases of grooming. Maybe sometimes, you know, the media will call you and they will direct you. But I don't think it's this in this case. I think this guy is so narcissistic that he wants his CNN interview to be exactly what they want. So he gives them what they want. He's like throwing the good meat at them because he likes being seen nationally betraying his father. That is very sick behavior.
Your sister Peyton, listening to her, she feels kind of caught in the middle of this. You know, she was there at the courthouse. She loves you. She made that clear yesterday. She thinks that your dad, if he's getting this time, that Trump should be getting some time. What do you say to that?
Absolutely. When she said that, I was flabbergasted.
Do we have a JF listener? Did he say fiberglasted? I would hate if this guy is listening to our show. Jackson, if you are listening, please stop. I do not want you as part of my audience.
So impressed with her, but she was so right. I mean, my dad was used as a puppet, and thousands of families have been. And whether you deny or agree with that, it's just at this it's facts at this point.
James was saying, I think he's intelligent. But this kind of manners of speech, where he has difficulty formulating his sentence, led me to believe he's not super, super intelligent. Yeah, sure, he's not like the average on the street. He's probably 105, 110, but he's saying it's fact. What is fact here? The fact is that your dad made a threat on YouTube and was jailed 7 years for it. The fact is that you can carry a gun in the US, and if you're not committing a crime, the carrying of the gun is not a crime in and of itself. The fact is that you seem to enjoy national attention on your very betrayal of your dad and your dehumanization of your dad, to reduce him as the victim of either some manipulation at times or some psychiatric problem at other times. But you don't give your dad the benefit of acknowledging that he just differs from you politically, that you guys have a disagreement. And for that reason, personally, Jackson, if I was your father, I would disown you and I would just not engage with you anymore. And you would have to live the rest of your life without interactions with me, because what you're doing is abuse. You are abusing your dad, torturing him because you disagree with him at the political level. It is not your thing to be determining what kind of engagement your dad has in politics and what kind of actions he takes and what kind of groups he joins. It is not, you're not in your place to be doing this. Mama JF says, usually intelligent people are fucking stupid, though. That is true. If we're talking about, your average high IQ university person, there is something there where they are high IQ, they're able to record a lot, but they're very stupid in the sense of being unable to think thought for themselves. Steven Robinson says, Jeff, what is your prediction of where Jackson's life will be in 7 years? Will he go insane from isolating himself from his family? I would bet that in 7 years, this guy could have taken an extremely liberal route, potentially engage in some LGBT conceptions of his own gender. Because, what he's opening up here is a revolt against the father, and I think it's going to lead him down darker paths than he can perceive at this moment. Because there's one thing that is important that he's had the chance to benefit from. He is in a very loyal family. I mean, I'm even surprised that the level of loyalty of this mother. So this guy is draining loyalty, but he's not giving back. So this guy is kind of he lives in privilege, but he parasitizes out of this privileged lifestyle. He drains the loyalty, he drains the eternal love of his father and mother and sisters, but he doesn't give back. He betrays in return. That is exactly what the Judah position is. He drains from the wisdom of Jesus Christ until he gets a chance and he stabs him in the back. So I guess that the future for Jackson is extremely dark. I mean, who knows? Maybe he's going to change and maybe his dad comes back and he reintegrates the family. But I think the most likely outcome is not this. The most likely outcome is he takes the direction of punk, of disloyalty to his family, and eventually gets attracted to all the problematic aspects of the left, leads a life of absence of reproduction. And I think that these guys, eventually, when they turn maybe 30, 40, and perhaps he's gonna have children by then, perhaps he's not gonna have children, I think they might eventually understand. You know, when your brain goes back to grows into a more conservative right-winger type, he may eventually understand that what he's been combating was an attempt of his father to preserve a state of society for him, and that the state of society that he didn't let his father fight for eventually will run to his disadvantage. Because how many betrayals from the left does it require for this guy to eventually be eliminated, to understand that his cocking right here might allow him to reach some degree of celebrity and get a punk girlfriend for a while, but that eventually he's going to have to pay the price, that the very people he will attract with this disloyal attitude will be disloyal to him in turn. How many cases of family court does he need to go through as a father before he eventually understands that this society will be as disloyal to him as he was to his father, and that ultimately he deserves it. He deserves it because it's exactly this teenage Marxist attitude that has led to the growth of leftism in our world. James says he was raised in loyalty. I'm guessing he is just trying to show loyalty to his girlfriend. There's certainly here the psychology of a young man who's trying to impress a girl. But is it a girl that exists and that's already in his life? Or is it a girl that he thinks he may be able to court if he's seen as anti-Trump? Definitely this kind of fake revolt. I call it fake revolt because ultimately he's siding with the very system he should revolt against. But that kind of revolt, the male feminist type, male anti-Trump type, may have some aspects of his brain that are convinced that he's going to charm a leftist female with this.
It is disgusting to see that someone with practically money and social power can just get away with manipulating.
He's talking about Trump here. Someone with practically money, that's where I say this guy is not super high IQ.
Thousands of people just for whatever reason and have no outcome.
When we
he refuses to acknowledge that caring for the state of the vote and the integrity of election is any sort of goal. For whatever is the reason Trump did this to my father. This guy dehumanizes the political opposition. I mean, you could be an honorable man, Jackson, and at least acknowledge, look, these people on the other side think that there is some fraud going on with the elections and they want to take action to stop that fraud. It's definitely an important question. It's not something that you can dismiss as whatever they're doing.
Look at this sentence, which is the longest one we've seen so far for a January 6th participant. Part of the reason was that your father carried a weapon. He did not enter the Capitol, but he also decided that he was going to trial instead of accepting a plea. And that obviously is something that would have potentially gotten him a longer sentence, more time in jail. It seemed in court that he regretted that a bit, but why do you think he wanted to do that initially? Why do you think he wanted to be an example?
And this is the female attitude with the male willingness, the unwillingness of males to admit to stuff that they don't consider were wrong. You have the same thing in family court where it's like, oh, he denies being an abuser. Oh my God, that shows terrible problems in his head. And it's like, well, if I admit that I'm an abuser and I didn't commit any act of abuse, then what are you going to say? You're still going to take my children from me, right? And so they want to put you in a corner where either you admit guilt and then we might go easy on you on the punishment, or you don't admit guilt and then you are guilty still. Absolutely disgusting discussion here between two female minds, basically.
I can't think of anything other than my own experience with my father, knowing that he is a narcissist and that he has a rather...
I wouldn't believe this diagnosis here. I would have to, of course, I'm not denying he could be a narcissist, but I think that the evaluation of his son as him being a narcissist, probably, yes, DK Shadow says projection. You know, Jackson, you're the one on CNN. You're the one making a TV show out of your family betrayal. Just this, the word narcissist here already fits better for you than it does with your father. Because I didn't see your father trying to gather public attention for what he did.
Large ego.
And you know, this ego is simply your father being convinced that what he did was just. And so that is an ego, but in the good sense of it.
And it was horrible to see him make that decision, knowing that he could have gotten off much easier. And I feared the moment that he was offered that and he denied it, that he would deny it and try to fight it in court.
That's called being a man. And it's there is an amount of jail time that I would be ready to take rather than have it on paper that I'm guilty of something that I'm convinced I didn't commit. So there is something worth it in this, which is if you consider that you truly have not committed a crime, it is absolutely diminishing and demoralizing to know that you'll sign a paper and you'll state under oath that you did commit that crime. And this honorable behavior of your dad, I hope that one day, Jackson, you come to admire him. Because life is not a series of decisions where I'm going to take the better option that feels better, that causes less harm. There are people who operate on principles, and your dad seems to be someone who operates on principles. And when you are operating on principles and you're being the victim of a witch trial, it is the honorable thing to do to tell the system, I will not kneel. I will not give you what you want. The way you're giving CNN what they want. See, you've been talking a lot about the manipulation of your dad. I would like you, Jackson, to put this this analysis power to your own situation. Aren't you giving CNN exactly what they want here?
And I knew it wasn't going to end up like anything other than it is right now.
Have you talked to him since he was arrested, and have you talked to him since he was sentenced?
Briefly. I had a really weird phone call with him that was really awkward. But yeah, it was. I talked to him once, and we did not talk about anything other than like Magic the Gathering, because they have guards in prison, but nothing too serious, no.
So it was just a hello and talking about Magic the Gathering, and that was it.
Man, you can be sure that if I was Guy Refit, there would be no discussion of Magic the Gathering. There would be no discussion at all. Well, that's it for the interview. In summary, we have this is a beautiful example of what's going on across America. The force of the state being manipulated by sometimes exes, ex-wives, sometimes by children. For the purpose of intimidating and politically controlling their parent. It is a disgusting thing, and the state fully participates to it. There should be blockades against this. There should be a philosophy that the internal conflicts that are political and personal in nature in the family are not good arguments to take into account into criminal prosecution. Criminal prosecution should be a thing of society, and you should only be found guilty of committing crimes towards society or toward individuals in your family when you did commit crime. But it shouldn't be the case that the balances of political preferences and differences and individual conflicts weigh into the balance of criminal prosecution. Dino Lugovich says, yeah, he is messed up. His life and guilt will consume him, as JF said, when he gets older, if he makes it that far. Hopefully he makes it that far. Kovy Clown was sending follow-up messages on entropy. He says, the dad has no mental problems. The son is the bad one. Guns are illegal to carry there, I think, JF, because of the Black Panthers. Shout out to Big Mama. Hope the mother goes home and throws this kid out of the house. He is a Vouch listener. Yes, Vouch, I said Destiny, but it could very well be a Vouch listener. Yeah, listen, I don't know what age he is. Maybe it's impossible to get him out of the house. Maybe he's too young. But I would definitely make it so that as soon as it is legal for him to leave the house, I would definitely kick him out and never talk to him again. There's nothing you can do to save these people except but to let themselves live with the disloyal society that they have wished upon themselves and upon the people who surround them. U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi lands in Taiwan amid threats of Chinese retaliation. So Nancy went into Taiwan. That's a prediction that I missed because I thought she wouldn't go to Taiwan. But at the same time, the second prediction was if she does go to Taiwan, nothing would happen. And indeed, nothing happened. So there we have no interception from Chinese jets. We have no nuclear bomb headed toward Taiwan. The Chinese did nothing. They didn't have the balls. And who knows, maybe they will do some diplomatic stuff. But we don't have any action, any conflict that has emerged. Of course, the Chinese have contacted, and people were pointing out that basically she's going to the place where they make computer chips and GPUs. She basically had her husband buy NVIDIA stock. She then passed a law in the US that would fund infinitely, with infinite amounts of money, the chips industry. And now she's chilling in Taiwan to prop up the stocks. You can see the whole coordination here. She's a master of insider trading. I mean, this is more than insider trading. This is like causer trading. She causes the inside knowledge, and then she makes sure that the stocks will rise. This is absolutely scandalous. Cloud Warmer sends a super chat. He says, Jeff, my parents always taught me that blood is thicker than water. No matter what happens, you have to count on and defend your family. Absolutely. There's an exception to this. I mean, if you have a conflict with your family, there are some conflicts that are legitimate. If you are being abused, if crimes are committed against you, there is a situation in which, yes, you can leave your family and you can defoo them, if you will. This keeps fascinating me how Stefan Molyneux was judged for saying defooing your family is okay. And to me, what's bizarre is the leftists are actually happy about defooing. That's all leftists do. They defoo. They defoo your child. I mean, they will defoo your child and use the opportunity to change their gender. So why is it that the left takes issue with defooing? I don't know, because they seem to like it very much. But yes, you should have an internal loyalty to the family such that your internal conflicts do not spread out to use external forces. So basically, you can have a difference, you can think different politically, but discuss it. And if the difference is unresolvable, then what this child should have done is All right, Dad, I disagree with you. And whenever you want a political discussion with me, you come here in my bedroom and I will debate you for hours. But using the force of the state to oppress his dad because he disagrees with him, that is absolutely disgusting. Suburban says, at least Molyneux's parents didn't reduce his male genitals. Yes, the leftists are into a kind of defooing that is much more extreme than what Stefan Molyneux practices. Nicholas Petris says, so Jeff, will you pledge to continue your public live pawnage, i.e. blood sports debates of the likes of Vouch, Destiny, Hassan, etc.? Their audiences must be humbled and possibly converted toward a brighter future king with JF, with King JF. Look, I've never given up on reviewing these guys, and I can comment and criticize, but please understand that the bread tubing business has become wiser. They make less and less verifiably false statements. They are more and more slidey, creepy. Like they're increasingly inconsistent in a way that you can't quite criticize. So they have learned. It's not like the crowd days where they would make factual statements and I would be like, no, that's false. Nicholas Petris says, not review, but live debate / discussion. Oh, well, on this side, I am constantly, on open invitation to anyone. And people like the Crucible, Modern Day Debate, they know it. They know that I will take anyone. So I guess the problem is these people don't necessarily want to debate me. So what you can do, I guess, as the audience member is you can cause. Many of these debates that I've had with people on the left have been caused by individuals on the internet. So how do you cause a debate like this to happen? Well, first, you send me maybe a message that says, Jeff, what's your position on this? And then you find that they disagree. And then you send them a super chat, or you send me a super chat. And then we see that there's a disagreement of position. And then you go provoke them into accepting a debate with me. It's a long process, and many times you will fail. But if you take them on an issue that they're very confident they can win, then they're going to accept. So, I mean, the problem is the same. It's been the same for 4 or 5 years. It's the same that plagued blood sports, but it plagued blood sports less. It's that leftists have no interest in debating. It's as simple as this. And people have been pointing out that recently there were panel debates, 2 versus 2, 3 versus 3. And they were saying on the Discord how it sucks and it's not super intelligent. Let me tell you a secret of the business. The reason there are panels is that leftists are scared to be alone. The reason there are panels is that you'll find very few leftists who are willing to appear on their own. They want, what is leftism? It's the conception that you can dilute your risk of being mediocre with society. So they do the same in debate. They will absolutely refuse to do a 1v1 debate against me. But they'll be like, oh, but if you can bring that other great leftist who's better than me, and you can bring your own guy, then it's going to be better. Because then I can shadow myself into unnoticeability. Let's not forget what leftism is. It's exactly what the McDonald birds do. They just stand, like 30 of them, over the food source. That way, if there's a car coming to run over them, at least just one of them dies, not 30 of them. They dilute their risk, and they dilute their risk in debates. Mark says, Jeff, debate right-wingers, problem solved. Well, then you have the problem that I cannot take a radically different position on something that I've already expressed my view. I couldn't suddenly love the state. I mean, I'm willing to do some clownish appearance sometimes, but it would be very tiring if you guys were to see me shift my view just for the sake of having a debate. China blasts a severe violation of sovereignty as Pelosi becomes highest US official to visit Taiwan in 25 years. China PLA says, see, they continued saying, we're going to conduct military drills. But none of this will be a direct confrontation of Pelosi. Pelosi will be gone by then. But maybe there will be the stemming of a new war. Maybe they will say, oh, it's a special operation like Russia. But for now, there seems to be a lack of immediate response. People were pointing out Louis C.K. was ahead of his time. This is the CDC recommendations for safer sex, social gatherings, and monkeypox. Masturbate together at a distance of at least 6 feet, without touching each other and without touching any rash, and avoid kissing. Louis C.K. was doing this a decade ago. So when do we get to credit him for being a pioneer of monkeypox safe sex? I mean, he's not been recognized for it. NYC Star locks down cans of spam amid crime wave. The whole idea of spam should be that it's so cheap that you wouldn't ever buy a whole protection around the spam. Like that should not happen. The whole idea of spam is that it keeps coming. You buy a whole package of it, another package comes in. It's spam. That's why we call those emails spam. But no, at this point, they are protecting, that's in New York, they are protecting the spam, protecting some canned ham here. Well, that's what happens when you don't prosecute small theft. And people wonder why kids misbehave. This started because he asked her to stop her kids from running around and throwing bags of chips, and that was her reaction.
Bullets! I'm making
You
butter
get in my
bullets!
mouth! I'm waiting on the police with your ass, bitch. You do whatever the fuck I do. The fuck you thought?
Stay away.
Bitch, I got real spit for you. Try me.
Okay, you got it. You got it. You want some? There you go.
You gonna have to.
There you go.
And start over. Start
there
over.
You go.
All them been on the ground and everything. Start over, bitch. I ain't playing with you. The fuck you thought? Bitch, I've been here for 45 minutes playing with your ass, and now you're gonna give me something? Bitch, you got me fucked up! Standing on shit, stop playing with me! Bitch, get this shit! The fuck you thought? Starting over, hoe! What y'all want? Come get it!
Couple of bags of
What? What?
At this point, she's talking like this to her children. What kind of bag do you want?
You can give me some bags, you can do whatever the fuck you want to do around this bitch. What the fuck? What y'all want? What you want?
So basically, this all started because the cashier had to tell her, can you control your kids a little bit? Because they were throwing stuff on the floor, like bags of chips and stuff. They were throwing it on the floor. Now she is insulted that she was asked this.
Touch a kid, I'm gonna fuck you up. What the fuck you want?
She's saying this to her children. I'm gonna fuck you up. Because the child is not quick enough to respond what he wants in terms of bags of chips.
Hey.
Touch him. I'm gonna fuck you up. You got the wrong one. Touch him.
And now she's, I'm gonna fuck you up to the cashier.
Touch him. Touch him.
That's you going to teach your kids?
Touch him.
That's
touch
what
you
make,
you
going to make
you
them like
Hell
that.
No, ain't nobody gonna get his ass.
That's how you make your kids.
That's
how you make your kids.
I'm a fool for your
That's
shit.
how you
bitch,
make
you
your kids.
Get
That's how you make
your
your
kids.
kids.
Get Get my shit.
Stay away. Make a difference.
Stay away. You walked up on me. You got your shit right.
Make a
difference. I'm walking on you. Getting on my shit, bitch. Give me my shit.
He's asking for social distancing. At this point, I think the social distancing utility is gone. Cynical Biped says, Jeff, what should you do in this situation? Oh my God, I mean, there's nothing you should do. I mean, we're so beyond fixing some of these things in society. Like, maybe 100 years ago, someone acts like this, you punish them socially the way this guy does. And eventually that person understands, okay, you are a disruption to the world around you and you have to change your behavior. But in 2022, you have to choose your fights. And basically, the only tip I could give you in 2022 is find whatever way possible for you not to have to work as a store clerk of that kind. Move to Antarctica. That is the only tip I can give you, because you're not going to fix society. You're not going to educate these people. There's just too much lack of education and people are too far gone. White Zealot, I will be banning you. Bye. All right, some random bloke has sent a super chat. He says, William Luther Pierce's son wrote a whole book denouncing him. I don't know about this. I don't know about this. I don't know who William Luther Pierce is. I would have to research this. William Luther Pierce. I mean, I've seen the name before. He was an American neo-Nazi, white supremacist, and far-right political activist. Okay, I don't know anything about this guy. Okay, he was the author of the Turner Diaries. I see. Well, it seems to be what has happened to him. He was disowned by his son. Robin Hood fires a quarter of employees via Slack. Reports dismal earnings one day early. Robinhood is this platform where people can trade stocks at low fees, but Robinhood seems to be in some amount of trouble, and they've had some troubles in the past honoring transactions, honoring, you know, when the GameStop thing came, I think they blocked the trading. So yes, now they are in trouble and they are getting rid of some employees, which is good because everything is over staff. Biden DOJ sues Idaho over near total ban on abortion. So that's one of these lawsuits launched by the federal government to kind of reinstate Roe v. Wade in an indirect way. The lawsuits, which marks the DOJ's first challenge since the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade this summer, argues that Idaho's law would violate the Federal Emergency Medical Treatment and Labor Act, which says that hospitals receiving Medicare funds must provide medical treatment necessary to stabilize that condition before transferring or discharging the patient. The Idaho law would make it a criminal offense for doctors to comply with EMTALA's requirement to provide stabilizing treatment, even where a doctor determines that abortion is the medical treatment necessary to prevent a patient from suffering severe health risks or even death. Look, I think it's probably going to fail because the Supreme Court will see through this bullshit. Clearly, the phrasings of the funds law is, we will reimburse you for emergency services if you provide those emergency and stabilizing services. The question of whether abortion is a desirable thing to have in society is not a matter of emergency or stabilization. So I think it's the federal government here is trying to stretch words So suddenly it's an emergency because the woman would need an abortion. I think it's not going to work, and the Supreme Court was very clear in their decision that it should be up to the people of a state to determine their ways of life as it relates to abortion. So it certainly won't be in the hand of a federal funding program. Some random bloke sends a super chat. Thank you so much for supporting the show. All right, Weenie Sucker, it is your last chat tonight. You are permanently banned, and I will never unban you. Bye-bye. Some random bloke has sent a super chat. He says, hey, JF, do you think we are too disunited on the dissident right? Jared Taylor invited Laura Loomer to speak at this year's American Renaissance Conference, and there are a lot of people on Twitter bagging him because of her ethnicity. The thing is, I never use that kind of language. I never say we should. I never say we are not enough or we should be united, because ultimately I don't feel part of a we that is a structured political movement. I am a free thinker, and I will always be a free thinker. I do not think anyways that there is any feasible political organizational goal that is reachable within reach for the dissident right. So since there is no such political realistic goal, I don't care what happens with the organization, with the structure, and with the overall community of the dissident right. The only thing that the dissident right can realistically do is have land, educate themselves, and communicate to themselves the importance of living a healthy family lifestyle and protecting from invasions of rights by the state. That is the only feasible thing for the foreseeable future, probably for my lifetime. So whether people are too open, not enough open, doesn't matter to me. They should do whatever they feel is right, and they should complain if they don't like it, and it doesn't change anything. Laura Loomer is not going to be successful as a candidate, and even if she was, she wouldn't be successful as a representative in Congress. So the dissident right will lose forever, again and again and again. You know, the quote from 1984, you want to know the future? Well, what's his name? You want to know the future, Winston? A boot stomping on a human face forever. This is exactly what awaits the dissident right. So whether we are united or disunited in the process of getting our face stomped onto the asphalt doesn't matter much. ASD says, Jeff bans half of his community and never grows. He will never be able to afford an impressive garden at this rate. Yeah, the thing is, the people I ban really are, they're just violating the rules. So it's like, I'm not going to grow any community at all if I don't ban them. Because if I don't ban these guys, the Odyssey people will eventually come after me. They're going to say, JF, you've allowed so much hate speech on your chat, we're banning you. And so I think we have to be respectful of the rules of Odyssey. You know, especially given that Odyssey's rules are much more broad, they're much more tolerant of political difference. So we can express anything we want here, except hateful stuff. So I only ban the people who do this fed posting tier of really unintelligent comments. And I don't care, really. They're not a big loss to my community. And as you mentioned, my garden speaks for itself. We are viable. Our show is still working, even if one of the smallest shows. I don't know of anyone who does a full-time living for a show where 1,000 people tune in every day. It's a small crowd, but it works. Corvin Callsign says, JF selects quality over quantity, only way to have intellectual discourse. Absolutely. You have to filter out or else you become flooded by the crap of the world. U.S. sanctions Putin's reputed girlfriend. I don't really care. I think it sucks because, but I was just attracted by the term reputed girlfriend. It's not even an official girlfriend. Like, they haven't confirmed they were together on Facebook, so she's only a reputed girlfriend. People believe that she is his girlfriend. Silver Spider sends a super chat. He says, hey, Jeff, if the dissident right always loses, then who on the right has a chance? Should we sit back and wait until the leftists piss off the normies enough? I mean, yeah, you can enjoy all sorts of things. You can have some accelerationist thinking at times, thinking, all right, the faster we can get to absolute leftist totalitarianism is the faster we can get rid of it. And that's true. Then you can adopt some celebration of local victories, like unquestionably Donald Trump becoming president of the US was a little arrow sent to the leftist heart. It hurt them very much. And you can seek pleasure in this, although it's anti-accelerationism in a way, because Trump, if anything, slowed down the slide toward leftist totalitarianism. Then you can celebrate small victories and local victories like the Supreme Court Roe v. Wade stuff. You can celebrate that certain parts of America will slide down toward leftism slower, and some of them may just never. And yes, at times then you can not celebrate these things and take the accelerationist stance and, all right, we have to get to the point where leftists fully reveal their hand to the people. But none of what you wish will change the world. So it's really about your position as a spectator. Now it matters. It matters psychologically, because the whole goal that you should have in life is, how do I survive a leftist dictatorship rising while remaining mentally healthy? And a lot of it will be about your perspective. A lot of it will be about, what do I enjoy from it? What do I laugh about it? When do I get the popcorn out? That's what it is. Suburban says, it matters psychologically. Yes, exactly. Which is exactly why, you know, counseling of the kind of Jordan Peterson that tells you, do not engage in political ideology. There's a little bit of truth in this. It's true that you should be blackpilled about the potential of persuasively change the world. But what's not true about it, and what's so misleading about it, is that there remains a psychological component to how you engage with the political world. And the full disengagement that Jordan Peterson is recommending is bad for you, because the full disengagement reduces you at being a sheep of this whole system. Whereas you can very well retain a right-wing perspective and right-wing beliefs about the world while acknowledging that they will not win. Right-wing beliefs will win again one day, but it won't be through we're going to convince people. It's just, what's going to happen is that the leftist slide of society will reach its apogee and its unsustainable point. And then leftists will break itself. And then inevitably the religious lifestyle, traditional lifestyle, and the fact that conservative just make more babies and religious people just make more babies, this will be a truth that will eventually come back down many centuries in the future. That's inevitable. The demographics game always ends up being having the last word. The blood is on his hands. Giuliani slams Soros after billionaire claims district attorneys aren't to blame for the crime wave. Yeah, I mean, the district attorneys clearly are to blame for the current state of society. They free criminals, and we see them again and again in the media. I think every day I could pull an example of someone who's committing not his first, second, or third, or fourth crime, but like his 12th crime. So clearly, if you had gotten this guy in jail for the 10th crime, he wouldn't have committed the 11th and the 12th crime. Clearly, district attorney have something to do with it. The CBO projects that by 2043, U.S. deaths will exceed births. Starting 2043, it will take net migration to prevent the U.S. population from declining. I hate this framing here. That's false. There could be another path. Evolutionary self-correction. Because what they don't tell you is once you reach a lowering of the population, suddenly the resources of society become available to whoever make babies. And suddenly these babies grow into a world where there are lots of resources that they can benefit from because there's less and less people. And so take, for example, just houses. If you have a reduction of population, suddenly houses on the house market, there's a surplus of them and they cost less. And then you can have the hope of eventually having a land, even if you're not a super rich person. The problem is if you constantly fix this with net migration, there's never an opportunity for the market to correct back into the true price of a house. There's always more houses and they're always more valued because they're always rarer and rarer. If we just left America to itself and let the growth problem self-correct, it would take less than 100 years and you'd have just Christian families popping 12 babies per woman across this country. But we are short-circuiting the evolutionary process here, and we're replacing it with demographic and immigrational replacement. Pennsylvania Supreme Court upholds the state's mail-in voting law. A lower court had thrown the law out earlier this year. It looks like Pennsylvania has been gained by this mail-in voting spree that has motivated leftists across the U.S. because they seem to be highly favored by these mail-in voting practices. Of course, we know how, due to Project Veritas, basically, they pay agents to go house to house. They're like, have you filled your documents yet? Who have you voted for? And so we've seen it on camera. We don't need any further proof of this. Unfortunately, here, this is a law that was voted bipartisan, in a bipartisan manner. So both the Democrats and the Republicans of Pennsylvania have signed the death pact for Republicans and for the right in Pennsylvania. That's very sad. There's a review on Zero Hedge of navigating the fourth turning. These are times that try men's souls. And I really like the review because I never remember what the four levels of turning are. A first turning is a period of renewal, one in which a historical crisis has ended. The populace has risen to the occasion, thrown off tyranny and conquered social, political, and economic tribulation. Having done so, they now create a renewal based on hard work, personal responsibility, and moral integrity. That's definitely not the time we live in. A second turning occurs a generation later, when the rewards of a first turning have resulted in prosperity and stability. Those new adults who have grown up during a first turning will be well off and will seek to pursue high-mindedness and social concerns. Along the way, they will also pursue self-indulgence. A deterioration begins. Well, we're definitely not in a second turning. In a third turning, again, a generation later, complacency sets in. Politically, those individuals who are sociopathic, a clinical aberration estimated at about 4% of any society at any given time, tend to rise in political spheres, replacing the older generation of responsible people. They tend to raise taxes, increase social welfare programs, and increase government spending in every way. Really, any excuse to seize increased power over the populace. Well, that looks like a part of my life, but we may be very well already in the fourth turning. The fourth turning, again a generation later, power having been seized, the sociopaths seek total power, the elimination of all freedoms to be replaced by totalitarian rule. Well, the good news is we are at the peak of this cyclical system, so it can get better eventually, a generation later. So I guess that would mean we have to give it 20, 30 years. According to this theory, I'm personally more black-pilled than this, but according to this theory, we would have in 20 to 30 years, we would have a period of renewal, one in which a historical crisis has ended, the populace has risen to the occasion, thrown off tyranny, and conquered social, political, and economic tribulations. Having done so, they create a renewal based on hard work, personal responsibility, and moral integrity. I don't see it happening. Not in my lifetime. I would love to have the white pill of thinking that we are in such a short cycle that all I have to suffer through is 20 years of leftism. But good luck, man. Good luck. Georgia reports first case of monkeypox in adult woman, as someone was pointing out on our Discord server. How did they know she was a woman? How do you even know? I mean, he may have been a vagina-having non-woman. Paul Pelosi allegedly slurred speech, had drug in his system, and handed over a police privilege card during the DUI bust. I didn't know that this existed. A police privilege card. So basically, he had this little card. The guy has been drunk or drugged, had red watery eye and had a massive accident, and he hands a card. The card indicates his membership to a club of donors that give to a kind of organization that gives grants and money to policemen and to the families of policemen. Let's say you're a policeman, you want to send your child to Harvard. This organization gives grants of that kind, like studies-related stuff and encouragements for the family. And he gives this card. This motherfucker gives the card like, hey, I know I just drove drunk, but I do give to this policeman fraternity organization. Maybe you want to go easy on me. unbelievable that there is this layer of society that expects for the laws not to apply to them, and they use money to make that a reality. US hits Iran with new sanctions targeting oil sales to East Asia. The US wants to make existence miserable to everyone in the industry of fuel and gas. They want to deprive the people of this earth that didn't choose to live the leftist environmentalist path that the US took. They want to make existence bad for everyone around them. I hope that there's a path for the Asian countries to deal with Iran in whatever way they want, that they don't have to ask permission to the US to do so. Brooklyn McDonald's worker clinging to life after being shot in the head over cold French fries. Even if the image is blurred, I will not show the image. But it's so disgusting. A 23-year-old is going to work at McDonald's. That's the only way they can make a living. They live in Brooklyn, New York. But the lady was disappointed with the French fries being cold. She calls her son. Her son comes with a gun, starts arguing with the McDonald's employees, makes trouble, and eventually shoots the McDonald's employee. Absolutely scandalous, but this is the state of the city. This is what happens when you have decided to turn your city into a open sky psychiatric hospital / jail. China summons the US ambassador overnight, says Washington must pay the price. So that's the extent of the response of China for now. You must pay the price. Okay, well, you know, in geopolitics, if you want a price to be paid, you have to go to Vladimir Putin's way. You have to make it pay yourself. So Vladimir Putin wants the Ukraine to pay the price. He doesn't call Zelensky and says, "Zelensky, you have to pay the price." No, he just shoots artillery in their direction until he considers that the price has been paid. What do they expect by calling the government and saying, "You must pay the price"? And a last news item before we close the show, Mama JF says, "That's like even worse than Gordon Ramsay." Gordon Ramsay, you know, when he gets pissed and he's like, "What did you do, you donkey? This is broccoli! Treat it with some respect, for fuck's sake!" Yes, definitely shooting the McDonald's employee is harsher than this. Someone says, "Say it with a Chinese accent, Jeff." What is the Chinese accent? I mean, I'm afraid of being so bad at the imitation, but I think it's better I don't do it, because I think I would be so bad that unintentionally it might seem racist. That, like, oh my god, does JF use Asian people as this bad at pronunciating? And I'm afraid it would be not so much a reflection of my racism, but it would be a reflection of my incompetence at at imitation. So I think I'm going to need some practice in private before I do this. A protest in the Netherlands, a woman has been injured. Look, they are shooting water onto the protester, but this water comes with some amount of power. And if you are stuck between a jet of water and a brick wall, eventually your face looks like this. So the resistance keeps protesting in the Netherlands. We'll see what happens with this. Much love. And thank you so much for being here tonight. If you would like to support the show, join the Subscribestar, the Patreon. We'll soon have our Patreoning out. I haven't scheduled it yet, but it will be in about a week or two from now. That's it for tonight. Bye-bye. Thank you.